It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And to experience the fellowship that I am enjoying.
Amen.
With each one of you. We just had a round the table discussion today at lunch. We had a good time of fellowship together. We could sit down and talk about things that are important to us. And I really do appreciate that. And I want to say, too, that I appreciate so much having the privilege to stand in this pulpit because of the man who stands behind it and the truth that he delivers, his love for the Lord and his love for what's right. And so I appreciate that. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth.
Amen.
That's good, isn't it? I thought about the first, well, how God puts things together, about the song about the blood. Had a fella drive up to the house one day, and I had a funeral to preach that afternoon, and I was trying to get my car washed, and I could have washed it as soon as I could have driven it downtown and went through the car wash. Plus, I'd had to wash the wheels afterwards. And so I was just washing. This fella pulled up. It's on Saturday morning and jumped out of his car, the briefcase. And he said, I want to talk to you a little while. I said, well, sir, I said, in all fairness, I'm very busy. I've got to preach a funeral in a few minutes, and I need to get my car cleaned up. And this what I want to talk about is real important. I said, well, sir, I said, now, I know what I believe, and I know what you believe.
Right.
And you're not going to change me. And I doubt seriously I can change you. And he said, but we may be a whole lot closer to believing alike than you think we are. I said, well, sir, let me just say this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen.
I thought of that when our brother was leading that song.
Amen.
And he said, we do have a lot of differences, don't we? Jumped in his car and left. Amen. Then I thought about the song Miss Hall sang about that piece. I remember on more than one occasion my wife and I have been faced with things. And she said, I have peace.
Amen.
Well, what that means.
Yes,
you're
right.
Praying about the will of God and just peace floods your soul.
Yes.
It's so real. Then the song we just finished about the cross.
Amen.
Rest.
Yep.
Rest.
Amen.
And all of that is made available through the blood of His Son,
God.
Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you will, mark Psalm 2. We'll be going there in just very, very shortly. And let me begin tonight, not apologetically, but let me begin by saying, in closing last night, my words may have sounded a little harsh. But let me say that I have the same goal I came here with. And that is not to criticize, nor is that to condemn. But it is to expose error.
That's right.
And exalt truth.
Right. Amen.
And some of our churches would not be in the mess we're in now had error been exposed.
Yes, sir.
And when our at one time sound, fundamental Bible schools took a stand for God, and rather than expose the error that was infiltrating by some of the professors that they had hired, and because of who they are or what they have or own or whatever, They just let it ride, and now they're just almost apostate, if they're not already. And so that's very, very important. I don't know it all, but I do know the truth.
Amen.
I've been studying this Bible over 50 years.
Amen.
Studying it. And I don't know it all, but I know a little.
Amen.
And what I do know, I'm going to stand on.
Amen.
When the church in Titusville, Florida, ordained me into the gospel ministry, my wife had bought me a Bible in 1969. And no one had ever, well, I'm sure when I was a child, I was taken to church, I had a Bible. But that's the first Bible anyone had ever bought me since I had become an adult. And she bought me this Bible, and I said, well, if anybody buy me a Bible, I would at least read it.
Amen.
And I started at the front, and I thought, well, I will never get through this. But I did. I read it. And so when the church had ordained me, they gave me a Bible and said, we want you to come and say a few words. And I remember saying this, there is a lot in this Bible I do not understand. Some I have read, reread, studied, I still don't understand it. But some I have read, I've read it all, but some I have read and I do understand.
Amen.
And I make you a promise that I don't know what's going to happen to me in the gospel ministry. I may wind up standing somewhere in one of these swamps on a stump, preaching to the snakes and the alligators and the mosquitoes. But I assure you one thing, I'll be preaching what I know
amen.
This book
amen.
Teaches.
Amen.
Amen and amen. All right, we are... Let me say a few words here and go back and relook at that verse again. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. I'm thankful by the grace of God and the goodness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can learn something about the Father.
Amen. Amen.
We can know him personally.
Amen.
Now my question to you would be this, as we think upon these sobering words of our Lord, will the Son reveal the Father unto those who reject him as being who he says he is and what he says he is? Would he do that? Would he reveal the Father unto those who reject him, who refuse to believe in him as the Savior of all mankind? The supreme sacrifice that the good pastor has made reference to already, the sacrifice has been offered.
Amen.
One, our works cannot begin to come up with the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Now let's go to Psalm 2, and we're going to look at this psalm. I think I made this statement the other night, that it is a messianic psalm. But looking at it today and going over some things here that's relevant to what the statements that I opened up with, I want to give you something about this psalm and about the kingship of our Lord and Savior. In verses 2 and 3, we find the rebellion against the Son, against the Lord, and against His anointed. Now that is against God the Father and God the Son. They're saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, I want you to notice the response to that rebellion in verses 4 and 5. This is a side of God that many people do never take into consideration. Now, let me say this. Jesus Christ, we said, has come to communicate unto us who God the Father is and what He is. He communicates unto us, and I want to go over this in just a few minutes, God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. But that isn't all He communicates to us about the Father. He also communicates to us His condemnation, His judgment, and His wrath. And we have plenty of verses to support that statement. Now, in verses 4 and 5 is God's response to that rebellion. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Now in verse 6, we see the reigning by the Son. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Now hill has to do with a kingdom. You are aware of that. And this is the kingdom of Zion where the Lord is going to rule from. So we have here the rebellion against the Son. We have here the reigning by the Son. Then look at verse 7 down through verse, verse 7, and we'll see this, and then we'll take 8 through 11. Verse 7, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So here is the recognition of the Son, that He is the Son of Almighty God. Now, the result of that reign is in from verses 8 through 11. His dominion over in verses 8 and 9, watch this, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In our Lord's first coming, we can shout and rejoice because of the purpose of His coming. It is right, and He accomplished everything that God sent Him into the world to do. He said on the cross, it is finished, referring to the work that God had given Him to do. And one preacher said it like this, when He was ascended back unto the Father, that a cloud received Him out of their sight. And this preacher said, that was God's amen to the sons, it is finished, and carried Him on to the glory world. All right, so here is His dominion. He will rule them with a rod of iron. Now, I don't know what these crooked and these liberal politicians are going to think about that. But there's coming a ruler to this earth, amen, and He is going to rule with a rod of iron. Look at verse 10 and 11. Here is His due. The result of that reign, His dominion, His due. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, here's where I want to get to in verse 12. Here is reverence for the king. Now, notice how the psalmist words this. Kiss the Son. Well, that is an endearment term. Okay? Now, keep your finger here. We're going to come back and let's go to John chapter 5 and verse 23. If you will, please, John chapter 5 and verse 23. We want to read something that John records here from the mouth of our Lord. John 5 and verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So you give the same place to the Son that you give to the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So it's impossible to honor one above the other. As I said on last night, there is the Trinity. Amen. And they're not vying for a position. Amen. They are happy with one another. I was at that camp meeting, Pastor, I was talking to you about earlier this week in Tampa, Florida, and this preacher was preaching. He preached a lot on the Holy Ghost. And he said one day, I got concerned about that, and so I began to pray, Lord, am I preaching too much on the Holy Ghost? And I'm not preaching enough on the Father or on the Son. And he said, the Lord impressed upon my heart, you go ahead and preach all you want to on the Holy Ghost. The Father nor the Son will be upset about that. And if you want to preach on the Son, preach all you want to, the Father nor the Holy Ghost will be upset about that. And if you want to preach on the Father, preach all you want to, the Son and the Holy Ghost will not be upset about that. Amen. There are three. Amen. In one, as we have heard that said. So it'd be impossible to honor the Father and not honor the Son. Amen. That's impossible. Now, notice here with me, please, 1 John chapter 2. We find a similar thing recorded there. 1 John chapter 2. You probably know these verses. I know what they're saying, but I want to read it to you word for word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. Watch this. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, I want to develop that farther in another reference in a moment. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Amen. That's bringing Christ down lower than he deserves to be. Putting the Father up here and the Son down here. It cannot happen. All right. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now you see that. This is what the Bible is teaching. Verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son. Boy, this is rough, but it's right. The same hath not the Father. You cannot have the Father and deny the Son. That's what he said. All right, now listen to this. We're going to have to kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. I thought about that kiss, preacher. That's a kiss of sanction. We're going to sanction him as the King of the world, as who he says that he is. It is a kiss of submission. Oh, yes. We will bow to his feet. Aren't you thankful to be saved by the King of the world who has all power, amen, in heaven and earth given unto him? It's a kiss of sanction. It's a kiss of submission. It's a kiss of sincerity. Amen and amen. Not any of these little pecks either. Amen. It's a kiss of sincerity when we come before him and receive him for who he is. Now, from here we're going to 1 John chapter 4, if you will, please. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read something here in relation to what I was talking about last night about the Lord revealing the Father. And no one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now look in 1 John chapter 4, please. Beloved, believe not every spirit. A whole lot of spirits. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Now look at this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now aren't you thankful tonight that there is someone in you? Amen. Someone in you that when these false prophets start propagating their false teaching, there's something rises up in you and says, hey, that isn't right. And may I say, you do not always have to know what is wrong about it to know that it is wrong. Amen. You just know there's something not right here. I used to have a friend that used the term copacetic. I don't know what in the world he meant by that. Maybe that's a word. I don't know. But I didn't hear it out of him. And he said, that's just not copacetic. So he meant that thing just not, I don't know what the word means. But anyway, he meant by that, this thing just does not connect. There's something out of place here. Now listen to what verse 3 is saying. Now, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. This is teaching more than the fact that Jesus Christ was a baby born. This is what's being taught here. Watch it. That the God of the Old Testament wrapped himself in human flesh, the person of the Son. Amen. He had no sin. He died on the cross. He satisfied the just demands of the law. He was raised from the dead, ascended back to the Father, and he is the living Savior for all. No one is going to be saved apart from Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. No one. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book.
That's right.
But these are written.
Amen.
That you might believe.
That's right.
That he is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name.
Amen.
Amen. That's how it comes. Yeah. All right. Now, as I said earlier, all that is revealed, we may know. And God reveals this. We've said that statement on last night, so there's no need to go back and restate that. But we're talking, our text is in Hebrews chapter 1, and particularly in verse 2, where whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So we have looked at his communication, and we are yet looking at his credentials.
Amen.
He can prove who he is. Oh boy, this thing just blossomed. Amen. If you remember over in John chapter 5, the Lord was talking about the witnesses of him. He talked about the works being a witness. He talked about the Father being a witness. He talked about John the Baptist being a witness. Amen. He talked about Moses being a witness. Amen. He could prove everything that he said. And had the Jew been looking for him as they claim they are and were at that time, there is no way but what they would have recognized him to be the Messiah. Because he performed the works the prophets had said that he would perform. So all that is revealed by Christ, we may know. We know God's love is revealed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that God's mercy was revealed by Jesus Christ. You remember when the publican and the sinner went up to the temple to pray, and that publican, proud, amen, he reminds me of some people, but anyway, he said, "Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like this, like other men. I tithe, I do all this." And especially like this old publican, "Lord, I'm just glad I'm so much better than him, and I mean so much more to you than him." And I heard Dr. John McCormick preaching once, and Dr. McCormick said, to hear some of these men preach, you would think they were waiting for a vacancy in the Godhead, for they're sure they'd be selected. But that old publican, Jesus said he would not as much as raise his head.
That's right.
Smote himself upon his breast. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
And the Bible said that man went down to his house justified.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad for the mercy of God?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, mercy. And then the power, he revealed God's power. Remember what Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 5, verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing." He was talking about God's power. All right, the oneness of him and the Father, we know about that. "I and my Father are one." Boy, I love this one. He told us what the will of the Father is. Let me back up here a little bit. This is over in chapter 6. And you remember what those Jews said. "What works might we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus said, "Believe on him that is sent." That's the work of God. You want to do a work, that's it. But in John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Amen.
That is the will of God. A lady came to my door one time, and she had a Bible, a King James Bible. She sure did. And she was standing there talking to me out of it, and she said, "Sir, we believe that the theme of the Bible is Jehovah protects his name." And I said, "Ma'am, the theme of the Bible is God's redemptive plan for mankind." I said, "It started in the Garden of Eden, and it ran all the way even out through Rahab's window." Amen. And all the way through the Revelation. That is the theme of the Bible. God's redemptive plan of mankind. Hallelujah. All right. And that God gives eternal life. If you remember that. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now all that's been revealed to us, and so much more that we can know about the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now Moses prayed. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 34 or 33, whichever. Well, let's see. Let's look in 33. Moses prayed unto God, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Oh, show me thy glory. And then God says this. He said in verse 20, thou canst not, remember this, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. I heard a man say, I'll go on a minute. These stories just keep cropping up, Pastor. I hope I'm not boring your people. But I was watching this years ago. This preacher was on television when I lived in Florida. Before I ever even started preaching, I was listening to this preacher. And he said, the Lord came where I was sleeping and woke me up and touched me in the palm of my hand. And he sent me out and to heal the sick and give sight to the blind, all these things he was doing. And I said, that's strange. God said, no man can see my face and live. And Paul said in the New Testament that he dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's exactly right. Now, I think God can impress things on you. Don't you? It was Dr. Harold Seiler said he was, I heard him preaching. He said, I was preaching and said, I said, the Lord said to me and said, after the service, a man came up and said, Dr. Seiler said, did the Lord speak to you in an audible voice? He said, oh, it was louder than that, son. Yeah. I mean, you just know, don't you? When the good Lord speaks, you just know. Now listen, in verse 21, we're back to Exodus 33. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the place.
Yes.
And then he said, thou shalt stand upon rock. Thank God for the rock.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I'll put thee in a cliff of the rock. Thank God for the cliff. And will cover thee with my hand, unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Amen. You know who that's talking about. While I pass by. And so here Moses is experiencing something that no man, I suppose, had ever seen up until his time. And God was revealing himself to him, but said, you cannot see my face and live. And then I want us to go unto 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And here we're going to look at a verse 6. Boy, there's a lot of good gospel preaching in the verses prior to here. But look in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The New Testament saints who walked with Jesus saw something that the Old Testament saints could not see. The face. And one day, thank God, you and I are going to see Him.
Amen.
What was it? It was Paul. You quoted that, or you won the other night. We looked through a glass darkly, but then face to face. What a day. Oh, what a day. It's all right to get excited, isn't it? Was it Brother Sammy Allen said, you don't have to get too excited. You're just going to live forever.
Amen.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. We learn a great deal about the Father and the Son only because we're in the family. In 1 John 2 and 13, John uses all three of these in one verse. Fathers, young men, little children. Amen and amen. Now, when he bringeth, look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 1. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, let all the angels of God worship him.
Amen.
Amen. All now the angels would not receive worship from John. Remember that? In Revelation. But now here, Here, the angels of God are to worship Him. Look at this term, the first begotten. Not as a creature. Couldn't be as a creature. Right. Because He created all things.
Right.
We've not gotten to that point yet, but Dr. Bryant was preaching on that out of the book of Colossians, which is has a great verse there, 15 or 16, talks about the creative works of the Lord Jesus of the first chapter. Not as a creature, for He created all things, but as God Himself.
Amen.
Now back in eternity past, before His birth, this was a term that was not proper to be used. Because if you remember in John 17:5, our Lord said, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." So He had a glory with the Father before He was ever born into the world. He was the Son. Amen. He was the Son before the second person of the Godhead, before He was ever became a Son, the Son of Mary. Let me say it like that.
Amen.
All right, He surely was. Now, the first begotten, here it is, and I discussed this a little bit about the tabernacle, if you remember, the Ark of the Covenant, and He mentions that first in building the furniture. God was coming out unto man. It is the coming out of God toward man. It was not fellowship with the Son and the Spirit and angels enough. No, God is love. He would bestow this love and this knowledge of Himself upon His creatures, or else they would be lost and doomed forever. God becoming man was the only possible way for man to be saved. The only possible way. I was reading a sermon by DeWitt Talmadge, and I believe, best I can remember, it was in the Sword of the Lord years ago. I believe that's where it was. But anyway, he was talking about the Lord Jesus coming to the earth. And he said, God, in His infinite wisdom, heard a moan and a groan in eternity future. So He investigated. Now this was DeWitt Talmadge's words with words. He was just tremendous. You talk about an orator. He must have been something else. But he said, anyway, he said he began to investigate. And when he did, he saw a whole race of humankind lost. And so then he determined something had to be done. And so he said, one angel stepped up and said, "Lord, I'll go." He said, "No, no, you won't do. I trusted an angel once. You won't do." And so he sent a band of them. "No, you won't go." And finally, the son said, "Father, I'll go." He said, "All right, you can go." Of course, we all know that was decreed in eternity past.
Sure,
but,
sure, right.
But I'm just giving you his story.
Right.
But anyway, he said, the angel said, "Oh, God, don't send Jesus. He is the object of our worship. What are we going to do? You're going to take the most blessed and precious thing in heaven and send it down to earth." And eventually, God said, "No, He's going. It's decreed He's going." And then he wrote that the angel said, "Well, Jesus, if you've got to go, how long are you going to be gone?" He said, "I'm going to be gone long enough to pay the price for the redemption of every man on the earth that he might be saved. And so that was it.
Amen.
I thought that was so good.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this again, that the only way that was possible, God had to become man.
Yes.
For someone had to keep that law to a T. We know what that law is. The law is God's standard for divine perfection.
Yes.
That's why a man's silly to try to keep it. He can't keep it.
No.
No man can keep the law.
Right.
I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but one more little story and we'll be done. I was witnessing one Sunday passing out tracts. I ran across this boy. He's about 15 years ago. Oh, I was talking to him about the Lord, and I said, "Son, do you know the Lord?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Then you're saved?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "I keep the Ten Commandments." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You mean you keep all of them?" He said, "Well, I keep most of them." I said, "Son, the Lord didn't give the commandments for multiple choice. He gave them as His standard of divine perfection."
Yes, sir. Amen.
And only Christ could measure up to
that.
That's
right. Absolutely.
He's the only man. That's why He worked perfect as that sacrifice.
Amen.
God received Him.
Yes.
And as our substitute. Thank you, Pastor.